Hi, and welcome to the Japan Baseball Weekly Podcast for April 30th. It's brought to you by Shooters in Nagoya. I'm John Gibson, and sitting next to me outside Tokyo Dome is Jim Allen.
Hey, John, how's it going?
Busy day, man. Really, really busy day.
I remember those.
Surely you jest, huh?
I do remember. 15 years. You think I'd forget?
All right. Well, now, if you hear the birds in the background, people, they aren't real. Don't adjust your listening devices.
This is not the Twilight Zone. This is Tokyo Dome.
That's right. It's just Tokyo Dome and the fake birds that they have outside to create atmosphere.
Yeah. Well, they got fake grass inside. They need fake birds outside.
You can't have baseball without birds. Today, we have an interview with Tamrell Sledge of the Nippon Ham Fighters. We're going to talk about low home run numbers and touch on a few other topics. So let's start by clearing the bases. All right, so this past week, I got to sit down with Tamrell Sledge, the outfielder with the Nippon Ham Fighters. And, gosh, he went back to the Ham Fighters this offseason after being injured and not being able to really help the Yokohama Bay Stars get out of last place. But how many have tried and failed?
I was going to say, that's how many have succeeded at that? And the answer is not very many.
Well, yeah, but he sounds like he's doing really well with the Fighters. He sounds like he's really happy to be back.
Yeah.
I don't know about living in Yokohama as opposed to living in Hokkaido. I think I'd pick Yokohama to live.
Yeah, he'll be missed at the YCAC for sure. And yeah, I mean, Sledge is a great guy, and it's always good to hear him.
Now, yeah, when you listen to the interview, he sounds really serious and kind of just like this guy. He's really hard to talk to, but he's actually really a sweet guy, and,
yep,
he's really easy to talk to. But, yeah, you know, don't get the wrong impression when you hear the interview. I think he's just real serious before the games, and I think this was about an hour and a half before game time, so he's getting his game voice on.
Well, I think he's loosened up a little bit since last year when they introduced the new ball, and they had all the foreign players were doing the double takes with, you know, being at the ballpark at 5:30 in the morning for day games.
Yeah.
And it seemed like 5:30, and they get there and they got a ball that doesn't, you know, a soft like rag ball that barely you can break it to pieces and it barely gets out of the infield. So they were all happy campers last year.
I tell you this, 5:30 in the morning,
I'm
is
joking,
not the morning to a baseball player.
Yeah.
It's about time to go to bed for some guys.
It's bedtime. But yeah, but it wasn't 5:30, but seeing these guys, I remember going to Yokohama Stadium and being there at 9 o'clock when the Bay Stars were halfway through batting practice. And Sledge would be like, Are you sure you really want to talk? You don't want to talk.
You don't want to hear what I have to say.
Yeah, there was a lot of that last year. So compared to that, he's like living the high life. He's like Mr. Happy-Go-Lucky this year.
Well, let's listen to what he had to say. All right, I'm joined by Tamrell Sledge of the Nippon Ham Fighters. Back with the team again. How's it feel to be back?
Feels good. I said it before, it feels like I never left, you know. It's good to be with such a strong organization, a winning organization, you know, from the all the way from the top.
What was your experience like in Yokohama two seasons ago?
It was, you know, the teammates were great, you know. I had a special bond with a lot of the players, you know, hung out with them a lot. Good young group, you know, it's just needs a little bit more time over there to get to that winning atmosphere, and I wish I could have done more.
Were you looking to leave the team, or was it parting mutual?
I wasn't, but, you know, they wanted a fresh start. You know, and, hey, that's the way the business side of the game is.
Did you get an offer immediately from Nippon Ham, or did you go out searching?
I remember I was coming off an injury, so I had to show everyone I was healthy.
Hernia
in the abdomen area. I had to show everyone I was healthy. And after that, I was just weighing my options, and the best option was coming back to Nippon Ham.
So what's that franchise really need over there? I mean, they got new ownership, they got new management. What else can they use?
I don't know. My job is do my part, you know, and play. You know, I'm not the GM or whatever, but, you know, my opinion, just it's not going to be overnight, you know. It's going to take time, and I think they're making the right steps, you know, by changing the management. And maybe a big part of it was didn't have or the owner, you know, maybe the thoughts of selling the team, you know, thoughts of not selling the team. I just think there's no commitment there. So it sounds like they have a commitment over there, and they can start from the bottom.
All right. Now, we talked in the preseason. Actually, we talked out at Yokohama, and we talked about the main part of this team would be offense. But what has surprised you about the way the Fighters have played so far this season? I know it's still early.
You know, it's still early, but, you know, obviously the pitching. You know, the heavy starter has been solid. And they say good pitching always beats good hitting. And a good reason we're, you know, on both on the hitting charts and pitching. So I guess that's why we're in first right now. But, again, it is still early.
Yeah, I mean, everybody talked about the fact that Darvish wasn't going to be here. And I kept saying, well, it's just one guy. But it seems like everybody's, I mean, at least in the rotation they're pitching well, you guys are getting good work out of the bullpen as well.
I think the biggest concern was losing a guy like that. It gave the bullpen guys and even Sashi, our closer, a mental break when he was pitching. You knew he was going nine. And also gave the offense, like, you know what, we're going to win today. We score one run. But other than that, that's the business side of it. You lose great players like that, but it seems like always someone steps up. You can't replace the Darvish, but, you know, the guys are stepping up, and it seems like we get past that sixth, seventh inning, we go to our bullpen, it's good enough, you know?
Yeah, I've seen it. Now, you guys have played everybody once in the Pacific League so far. What's your assessment of the other teams?
You know, for me, it's just personally making an adjustment, you know. It seemed like 2 years, it's just I'm starting a new league again, you know. I see why other foreigner players stay in the same league because they, you know, get adjusted, you know, to the pitching styles and catcher, you know, tendencies. And, you know, I had to start over now my second time. I think I'm making it a little harder on myself, but, you know, I'll take the challenge. But, again, you know, it's still early, you know. Everyone knows, you know, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. That's the only thing people remember. How you finish.
You know, we tried to assess teams like the Marines, where you don't know what the rookies are going to do, and teams like SoftBank that had a lot of changes. What have you seen from those two teams?
SoftBank, you know, their offense still strong. They still carry on, man. Chiba, I mean, it's just, you know, feeling, you know, it seemed like they have that veteran establishment, and Sadazaki behind the plate. Seemed like he'll handle them well. You know, you lose him, I think it would be a little different story. But since he's behind the plate, you know, his style of catching, I think, helps him out a lot, the young players.
Now, I contend that you guys have probably the best outfield defensively of all the 12 teams in Japan. So we're looking at interleague coming up here soon with no DH in the Central League parks. What do you figure your role is going to be?
I'll be honest with you. You know, our first baseman, you know, future Hall of Famer, is leading the league and hitting. There's no sense in replacing him. And you got their big guy in left field. So honestly, think when there's no DH, I think I'll be on the bench. You know, and it's whatever to help the team. You know, at this point in my career.
And how's that role fit for you?
I've done it before. But you know, we all want to play every day. But what do you do? You're not gonna, like I said, replace a leading hitter in the league, leading RBI guy in the league, and then you know, he's the face of our franchise, left field. So you know, what do you do?
Your success as a pinch hitter. Are you comfortable with it?
I was very comfortable in the States. It's something, it's not an easy job, but I did it. I haven't done it over here, but I've done it in the past. And, you know, I just think DHing is the same scenario. So it almost feels like four pinch hit at-bats, you know, a game.
Well, you pinch hit for us anytime, but you can come on the show and be a co-host if you want.
Yeah, I'll do my best, you know, but there's no replacing you.
All right, thanks for the time, Dave. Appreciate it. Good luck.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right, well, thanks again, Termel, for being down with us. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, it's good to hear you, buddy.
And, yeah, good to see you again. And keep up the good work. You had a home run and a double today on in Sunday's game. So, and they're playing on a Monday.
Right, because it's Golden Week.
Because it's Golden Week, or so they say. I've never run into much gold in Golden Week. But
Golden Week means extra work.
Now, one of the things that he said that was kind of surprising to me was that the Bay Stars didn't want him back.
Right.
And of course he was injured, and I understand that. I mean, he's not all-star caliber outfielder, but I think he's a serviceable, you know, he's average. He's probably right about average for outfielders in Japan in terms of arm strength, and probably not so much in range. But, I mean, he's not going to kill him.
No.
And he was doing okay before he got injured, not great. But it was still an adjustment for him coming over from the other league.
Right.
So I think they would, you know, want to keep a guy around like that who's proven he can hit.
Yeah, you would. But on the other hand, you have to look at the Bay Stars and see where they were coming from. Now, with Alex Ramirez, you know, of course, that's the thing is they basically, essentially in the outfield, they swapped Termell Sledge for Alex Ramirez.
Right.
And it's not really a plus in terms of what he puts on the field. Sledge is a better outfielder right now in his career. He's probably a better hitter right now. I would say without a doubt he's a better hitter. He's 5 years younger than Alex is. But Alex Termell Sledge is a better player right now, but Alex Ramirez is a better name.
Right.
Now, with the exception of the better name, the Bay Stars, you can see what their plan was to get one guy who's going to put a name on the, you know, in the dugout in Nakahata, and one guy on the field who's going to be a big name, and then basically scrap all the rest and go with the young kids. So there really wasn't a plan. And of course, the other thing was to throw out whatever they could that was going to cost them money. You know, anything left over, anything that would remind him of the bad old days. And Sledge wasn't a part of the bad old days, but he was there, you know, and he was guilty by association with the guys, you know, with his former teammates.
Right, he was part of the bad recent days. But I would say, you know, if you're a player, that you want to hit the escape button and get out of Yokohama as quickly as possible because of the losing. But, I mean, I think it really is a better place to live than Hokkaido.
I don't know. I don't buy that. I don't buy that LeBron James. You know, that thing is, I should, you know, it's my duty as a pro to go where the winners are, or that, you know, that argument that Ichiro can't be a real good player because he stays in Seattle where he likes to play and doesn't go to a better team, but he's somehow not interested in winning. I've heard that argument before. I don't think that's valid. I think that's an individual choice.
Oh, certainly.
And I think Sledge would have been probably more happy if they had said, look, we really want you to stay in Yokohama and be part of the rebuilding process. I mean, that's what everybody wants to hear, is we really want you.
Right.
And for most players, the biggest thing, the best thing you can do is say, we really want you. Because they're human beings, and so no surprise there. On the other hand, the fighter said, hey, we want you too, and he didn't like playing in the Sapporo, so.
No, I fully agree, and I would just think that, you know, I mean, for me, I just think it would wear on me not to be able to win. And I remember talking to him after one of the games, because early on they won some games last year, in fact, the first series against the Dragons. And I remember talking to him, and he said, hey, look, you can't just come in here and think that, you know, look at the Yokohama Bay Stars and think that's a W.
Right.
You know, and that was early on in the season. Of course, that's what most teams did, looked at the schedule. That's how they viewed the schedule from about May on.
Well, the Bay Stars have issues, and they're going to continue to have issues. And what he said is it's not going to be an overnight thing is absolutely true. And anybody who thinks it's going to be an overnight thing is, you know, it can be. It has happened before. It has happened where teams have gone from the outhouse to the penthouse. But usually those teams have a lot more latent talent, and they were bad teams, not necessarily they're coming off bad seasons, not necessarily because they were the worst teams in the league, but because they had the worst, you know, they had the fewest wins. The Bay Stars have played worse. Bay Stars have underperformed considering what their ability has been, but not significantly so. I mean, I don't think anybody's going to look at the Bay Stars and say, well, this is a team that should be playing over 500, and they're not. They're not the Oryx Buffaloes. They're not a team that has a lot of talent that doesn't know what to do with.
Right.
They have a lot of issues besides a lack of talent.
Well, the other thing, and as some of our rambunctious fans still linger around the Tokyo Dome, is that, it's not like, you know, he didn't help them get a little bit better and give them some hope. But, you know, he said the commitment is there.
Right.
And that was a big thing for me, because I know in talking to guys like Dan Johnson before, who said, you know, the team wasn't even giving me equipment, including bats.
Yeah.
Bats, for God's sake. So, wow. I mean, him saying that the commitment is there now, that breeds hope in Yokohama. And
well, this is not a unique issue for the Bay Stars. This is an issue that happens, I would say, to most teams other than the Giants, to be honest. I would say the Hawks are an exception, the Fighters are an exception. But this is more the rule than the exception. Craig Brazell had to play in another player's pants for a long time with the Cebu Lions because they couldn't be bothered to get him a uniform that fit.
Yeah.
And the same thing happened.
I'm not going there.
No, I'm just saying that
no.
It's like their supplier, they were low on the priorities. The Lions weren't making a big effort, and the supplier wasn't that interested, and they did a second-rate job. The Hiroshima Carp, when Marty Brown was there, went at the same thing. They had two different suppliers. The organization wanted two different suppliers of equipment for their team, and it all depended on who they wanted to market to which sponsor, to which supplier.
Right.
Players didn't have a choice of what kind of equipment they were going to use because it was a team decision. So is this unusual? This is no surprise. This is normal business in Japan.
It's bats, dude. I mean, we're talking...
Yeah.
I mean,
bats, gloves, shoes.
Marty Brown's uniform is different, man.
Well, Marty Brown's career ended in Japan, not because he couldn't play, because they couldn't get him shoes that would fit. They ruined his feet. He basically knocked him out of baseball because they wouldn't give him shoes that fit. He had to... I'm not kidding.
Well, to get back on track, though.
Right.
Let's talk about his new old team or his old new team. The Fighters are they're in first place. They're playing really well. He talked about their starting pitching,
yep.
And we looked at it as I said earlier on, hey, they're going to just be missing one guy. So I mean, yes, this one guy did a lot for him, but he didn't pitch every day for him.
This is true.
And the guys have the rotation has really stepped up. Although Bobby Keppel has a bad shoulder, and I think he's going to be going back to the States to get it looked at. Even Yoshikawa is pitching well.
Right.
Brian Wolf is pitching well. Takeda threw a shutout today.
Yagi pitched well.
Yagi is back. He's lost some weight. He's really looking a lot better. I know he's had some injury troubles, but...
He's had the injury trouble. He hasn't been able to throw.
Yeah. But that's a good pitching staff. Now, they put together an offense that's supposed to score runs.
Right.
And because they thought they were going to be... They thought they were going to need a lot of runs to compete this year. And...
Well, Nakata's a guy, and I think he hit that on the head. Nakata's a big part of this team's future. He's a guy who, you can say, well, he hasn't done anything, and he's a young kid, but the kind of stuff he did in the minor leagues is the kind of stuff that really, really good hitters do in the minor leagues.
Mm-hmm.
So there's nothing inconsistent with saying it'd be a surprise if he's not a very good hitter. He's a hitter who's probably going to be Takuya Nakamura in a few years.
Yeah, well, I mean, I was ready to proclaim him one of the better cleanup hitters in the league starting this year. That I thought he was going to, step into that role, but he had a bad start.
Okay.
But I think he'll work into the role. He'll get used to it. He'll get more comfortable with it. He'll be able to figure out in situations what the team needs and how people are pitching him in those situations and how to make adjustments. So I think he's going to get better. And then, of course, Inaba has been great for them. But they're getting enough production offensively to, even if they don't score three or four runs every night, they still are competing.
Well, they're not going to score three or four runs playing in Sapporo Dome anyway.
And they're not going to score three or four runs the way the, runs have been hard to come by in both leagues this year, but they're leading the league. As far as last time I looked, they were leading the league in runs scored, and I think they're going to stay that way the rest of the season. In my opinion, I don't see unless
it has
somebody gets injured.
Yeah. It has happened. The Fighters have been since 2004. The year they moved to Sapporo, they've been a defense first team, but they have had a couple of years where their offense was just incredible. The year they won the Pacific League 2009, they had a tremendous offense. I take it back, 2008,
Masataka Yoshida took over for Trey Hillman and said, look, I want a big offensive team, and I don't think it's going to happen right away. But bam, here they are leading the league in runs scored.
104 runs, they have 20 more runs than the next team.
So it does happen. You know, these things do happen. They have been a good offensive team, but masked by the fact that they played in a tough pitcher's park and a tough pitcher's league. So, things are going to happen. They did well last year. They had a good offensive team last year. I'm not surprised that they have a good offensive team this year.
Now, he was brutally honest about the question I asked him about interleague, and I was appreciative of him not punching me when I asked him. But I mean, you know, I really, like I said when I asked him, I really consider that outfield defensively to be the best in Japan.
Even with Nakata Show in left field.
Actually, Nakata makes good plays, and he's got a good arm.
Well, yes, he does. He's got a cannon is what he's got.
Yeah, so, I mean, if he can get, you know, if it's not too far, he's going to get to it. And I would say he's probably average speed-wise out there, but his arm makes up for whatever else he can't do because people have stopped running on him automatically.
Yeah, he's not the player he was when he signed out of high school and they weren't certain whether they wanted to make him a pitcher or a third baseman or a garden gnome.
Yeah, well, that guy was a little bit dumpy, a little
slow. Dumpy. He was.
He had baby fat.
He had baby
was
fat.
Baby fat.
Man, he had my baby fat. he found it at Goodwill.
He had some baby fat. Leave the man alone. He was a teenager, for goodness sake. He's just out of high school.
Okay. Well, anyway, so he's on track to be the player that they wanted when he drafted him. And they spent last year giving players more playing opportunities, Yang Jung Cho or Yodai Khan or Monty Hall or whatever his name is in right field, our international from Taiwan.
I don't think they call him Monty.
No. But basically, this is a guy, you're asking what, you know, he's like, which name do you prefer? He's just like, any name you want to call me, that's the one I'm happy with.
As long as you're paying me, baby.
Well, I never paid him. Anyway, he's a good kid. He's happier than Punch to be playing every day. And, they like that. He's another guy who's got a gun. He's a former shortstop and playing in right field. So, yeah, with Itoi in the center field, a former pitcher.
Itoi's playing right.
Oh, wait, hold on a second.
Yodai Khan's been playing center.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so they've got two former pitchers and a former shortstop in the outfield.
And they all have arms.
And I won't go into it, but I think arms are, you know, the tools guys like their arms because of their potential and things they can do in games. And I'm a convert. I like arms, too. I didn't used to have a high value for arms because it was something that you couldn't quantify.
Mm-hmm.
Or they were hard to quantify because we didn't keep numbers on them.
Right.
And but having looked at different research, I happen to think that, yeah, that's a very valuable part of the defense, and the Fighters have a great defense. They know what they're doing. I mean, I have questions about why they do some things and some of the decisions. I don't agree with them, but they do have a plan, which is more than most teams can say in Japan.
That's true. That's true. And I'm not sure exactly what the plan is either, but I know that they put a premium on defense, and you can see it with that outfield. And it's no surprise that Sledge said he knows he's probably going to be in a pinch hitting role in Central League parks, and he's going to be the DH like he usually is now in the Pacific League parks. But he also talked, after we turned the tape recorder off, he also talked about playing under the new manager. And basically what he said was that, you know, they have so much structure there that they took one piece out and they slipped in a piece that they wanted or that fit better for them as the manager. And, you know, he said it's not that different from when he was there before. And understandably, he's got most of the same players who were there before when he hit that dramatic home run, the Grand Slam walk-off home run in the
Kaizo Fukumori.
Yeah, in 2009. I mean, they got basically the same outfit over there.
Right. Well, they've got they've made changes, but the thing is with the Fighters, is what I mentioned, is that they have a good organization. And I've talked about this before, of them probably being the smartest organization in terms of baseball operations and having a plan in Japan. Toshimasa Shimada is the top of that pyramid. And this is something that has been going on really since the decision to bring in Trey Hillman after the 2002 season. They have a structure, they had a plan, they had a commitment to be organized. You know, they basically said, look, we're going to go to Sapporo and we're going to build it we're going to build everything, rebuild everything. Mm-hmm. And that was the year they announced they were going to move to Sapporo, and they got a foreign manager, and they brought him into the decision-making process, and that worked out really well. And he went through some iterations, and there wasn't all happy days with him, with the Trey Hillman. They wanted to get rid of him on a couple of occasions.
So did one of his pitchers.
Yeah, well, that's another story. And they had Takata Shigeru, who is now the general manager of the Bay Stars, in there. And he was a useful part of that equation. He was allowed to have input. He wasn't running the show. The real general manager is Toshimasa Shimada, in a sense. He's the head of baseball operations. He's the one who has the final say. But they have a lot of good people there. They have a lot of information. They have decision-making. Now, another team that I like as being one of the smartest teams in Japan is the Fukuoka SoftBank Hawks. They've got they've got a tremendous talent pool. They have a tremendous talent development system set up.
I really like the pitching, the way they develop pitching over there. I think we talked about that before.
But the thing here is, with the Hawks, as much as I like all the people in the organization, they're not as well organized as the Fighters are. Now the Fighters have a confusing bunch of names. You know, who's in charge? Who's the general manager? Who's, you know, the head of baseball operations is, and the team representative, Mrs. Shimada, is the final say on these things, and is not called the general manager, is confusing. But there's no question about who's in charge.
Right.
With the Hawks, there is some confusion. They have great guys there, but if you ask five different people who's running the show there, you'll get five different answers. It's or it's the former director of baseball operations, Itaro Kobayashi, or it's somebody else, or it's somebody else, or it's somebody else.
Right, so, and what that says to me is, you know, it's good to have a plan, but who's going to execute it? And because things inevitably go different from how you plan.
Yeah.
And who's going to be the one to make the corrections or get the train back on the track?
Well, right now, I think the person to get things back on the track is Akiyama, because he has matured into that organization. He's grown into it. But again, he is somebody there, and there's a lot of respect there. And there's basically, they let him, you know, they give him the players, but they also get a lot of feedback from him, and they essentially let him run his show.
Oh, and he runs the show, baby.
He does
well.
He
managed his butt off in the Japan Series. He got big respect from me from last year.
Right, so that's a winning combination. And the other thing, and the Hawks, again, there is a lot of brain power there, and right now they're fluttering a little bit, and they're still overcoming some of these things, and some of the disasters that happened in the off season, and Mahara's out, and so things are going up and down, but you know they'll be there. But the Fighters are an amazing organization. You know, there's like Darvish is. It's like they must. Did they know they had all this reserve of talent? Who knows? They may well have. I don't think they do things without a plan.
Yeah, certainly they knew when they knew they were going to lose it. I think they told everybody, look, in the off season, you guys are going to have to work harder. We're going to have to be better at doing the little things and this and that and that.
See, the Bay Stars can do that.
Everybody came back, but they actually did it.
Right.
You know, everybody can talk about it.
Right.
But executing the plan, you can have a great plan and not get it. It's just like the pitches. I think we've talked about this in the office. You can have a great plan to attack hitters, but if you throw the ball in the wrong spot, they're going to pop it. And I mean, it seems like they've had every player down to a man really go out and do what they were supposed to do in the off season to get
well,
into shape.
You know, this isn't the first time this has happened. This has happened to the Fighters because, you know, in 2006 they win the Japan Series, and the Pacific League MVP bolts for the Yomiuri Giants, Michihiro Ogasawara, and people are going, look, you have the worst offense. You had the worst offense in the Pacific League, and you just lost the Pacific League MVP, so what are you going to do for an encore, dudes?
We're going to Disneyland.
And the answer was, we'll win the league again.
Yeah, we'll just win
the league. They blew away the league.
Yeah.
With Inaba, essentially, as the MVP, although Darvish won the award. So, yeah, so no big surprise there.
Well, good luck to Mr. Sledge. It looks like the Fighters are going to be in this thing for the long run, which is something I didn't anticipate. I think I picked him to finish fourth or fifth or something. maybe fourth. I think it was.
Yeah, we had the top of the table clogged up with the Cebu Lions, both of us. So.
Hey, I still think they're going to be around, so I think they're coming back.
Yeah, well, they're not going to blow up Cebu Dome. They're still going to be there.
All right, well, let's talk about our missing home runs. Now, I saw a couple articles. Well, I saw a few articles this week in the Japanese papers. We ran one in the Daily Omiuri as well, and talked about the numbers of, or the shrinking numbers when it comes to home runs and even runs scored. And it's only been about 24, 25 games, so I don't really think it's, I don't think we're there yet. I don't think we can say something, but there is an inordinate number of pitchers who have ERAs below one.
Yep.
And that's just wrong.
Well, that's not wrong. That's just
softball.
It's one of these
things. It's girls' high school softball where if the ERA is over 0.5, you know, then the girl's tossed to the end of the bench and doesn't get the throw. This is not baseball.
I can't comment on women's softball, to be honest. But let me say, I think you hit it right on the head when you said it's 24, 25 games. It's a month. And what you have to look at is what's different. It ain't the ball. They're using the same ball as last year, ostensibly. But what it is a couple of things. Two, a few years ago, 2009, I believe, we had incredible amount of offense in Japanese baseball. And there were a lot of things. I did a lot of research into this, and you, if you look and you see, if you really look at the details, mm-hmm. you can see some of the things that are going on. Now that year we had a heat wave, a worldwide heat wave going on, and we had more and more games being played outdoors that year, and more games being played at small outdoor parks. Now this year, when you compare the home runs to last year, there's a couple of things going on with that comparison. One, it's 24 games. Two, this year's season started on March 30th.
Mm-hmm.
Last year's season started, I'm going to say it was April 19th.
All right.
It was the middle of April.
Remember, mid-April.
Okay, it was the middle of April. Two, the weather this season has been cold. It has been freezing cold. So, also, in addition to starting the season, yeah, the ball doesn't fly as well when it's cold. Okay, now the other thing is that last year, because of the power shortages, all the Kanto games that were played here through Golden Week.
And you're talking about electricity.
The electricity,
kind of power.
That kind of power shortage.
Power, yes.
Were played in the day when the ball's easier to see, when it's warmer, when the ball flies a little farther. And consequently, the first 10 days of the season, there were an incredible number of home runs hit for a season.
Yes, we talked about that. We're like, what new ball? What's
exactly.
The problem, people?
So they're comparing. So they're essentially making a bad comparison. I would venture it's not a very significant comparison to compare a year which is very cold, which starts in March, with a year that is not cold, that starts in the middle of April, with more games being played outside and during the daytime. So
different conditions.
Yeah, different conditions. I don't really think there's any big thing to it. The only significant, there may be other changes going on that we're not noticing, but as far as there are enough extenuating circumstances to throw that out the window. And being 24, 25 games doesn't mean a lot. So.
Well, before we throw it out the window, let's take a look at it just quickly.
Okay.
We're going to throw it out the
I've
window.
I've already thrown it out the window. What do I want to hear about it for?
Go pick it up over there.
Okay, hold on.
Next to the bird.
Okay. That's not a bird. It's a recorder. Okay.
So, they changed balls for the beginning of the 2011 season. So
correct.
In the 2010 season, through 24 games,
right.
In the Central League, teams averaged 4.3 runs a game and hit 1.0 home runs, exactly one home run per game. That was the average.
This is 2000.
This is 2010.
10.
In 2011, the number dropped from 4.3 runs a game to 3.1.
This is only the Central League.
This is only Central League, with the home runs going from 1 to 0.6.
Okay.
And then, so far through 24 games this year, runs per game 2.7.
Okay.
And home runs a game 0.4.
Okay.
So that's a significant drop from 2010.
Right.
Again,
looks the same. And then if you throw in the other things going on, I think no difference from
right.
2011.
And then in the Pacific League, the runs per game were 4.5.
Yeah.
Home runs per game 0.9.
Yeah.
In 2011, 3.4 for runs per game,
right.
And 0.5 for home runs.
Yeah.
And this year it's down to 3.1, so that's a drop of almost a run and a half per game. and down to .4 on the home run, so that's half a home run.
I say no difference.
I think it's a little bit significant, but again, we're talking
about... I like that expression, a little bit significant.
Okay, it's not... remember how we say it's statistically insignificant.
Okay.
Okay, I think it is statistically significant to a degree.
That's why. Okay.
Okay.
We're not going to get into this.
Okay.
We're not going to get into this, but I'm saying
and
that...
And the degree is, I think there is something...
It looks like... You're saying it looks like there's something there, and I'm saying it doesn't look like there's something there.
Well, I'm saying the number is definitely lower. Now,
yeah. the number is lower.
Look. I don't mind that a game comes down to, you know, if your left fielder has a good enough arm to stop a guy from getting the second on a single that's looped close to the line in left field. I don't mind the game coming down to that, but I mind every game coming down to that. Because, you know, at some point, you know, hitting, to me, has to take over and not let pitching dominate every game.
Well, I think that's a matter of taste.
I don't think it's taste when you're talking about every game, because if every game is 1-0, 2-1, then we have the pitchers dominating the game.
Right.
And at some point,
it's
hitters have
from
to
what
dominate the
it's
game.
It's different from what you're used to. So it's something you're not going to like.
I don't know if it's something I'm not going to like. I just like the variety of having, you know,
okay,
a team.
Okay, I'll go for
hit,
that.
Being able to hit its way back into a game. Whereas now, when a game is 4-0, you might as well turn it off.
However, that being said,
sometimes teams come back.
Okay. Having said, and we had one the other day.
We had one the other day. A spectacular game from the most unspectacular player in a very spectacular situation.
So I'll go back, and I got some stick from a fellow used to play for the Yakult Swallows, and it hit I believe 39 home runs for the Yakult Swallows. My teammate of Aaron Giles, Adam Riggs, and Adam, yeah, and he picked on me because I picked on Tomohito Yoneno, former catcher for the Yakult Swallows, in our baseball special. I'm going to say it was 2007. I wrote that Yoneno he couldn't hit his weight if he went. He'd be fasted all year.
I remember that.
And Riggs got on me. He's like, you can't say that about Yone. He's a great guy. Well, Yone is now the reserve to the reserves at the Cebu Lions.
And he's not even a catcher anymore. I don't know if that means that they've given up on him. And you know, it would seem to me that the Lions could use a good backup catcher. I'm just saying.
Okay.
But anyway, he's not even a catcher anymore. This guy used to be a catcher. And let's tell you guys what happened. I can't remember the night now. It was Thursday night.
Okay.
And there's high drama in Fukuoka. The Lions are mounting a little bit of a comeback against Brian Falkenborg, who gives up nothing. And he has been giving up nothing. He's been slamming the door shut.
Well, to remind the listeners, something Brian Falkenborg said last year when we asked him about the shortage of home runs, he said, what shortage? The ball's flying like crazy this year. Yeah. Because last year he gave up 2 home runs.
And I was going to bring that up because I remember in that interview he said that the third baseman with the Lions, which is Okawari-kun, Nakamura, had seemed to have no trouble hitting the ball over the fence. And in this inning, when Brian Falkenborg got into trouble with 2 on and 2 out, they decided they were going to walk Nakamura, who's hitting about 171 and, you know, just not hit. He's not even driving the ball. He's not driving the ball.
Yeah.
And this is last year's home run leader in the Pacific League. So they decided that they're going to walk him.
Right.
So to get to Yoneno. And, you know, it happens. Falkenborg threw a straight fastball right down the middle. And kid was waiting for it and pasted it over the fence for a walk-off. Not a walk-off. For a grand slam home run that ends up being the game-winning hit.
Right.
But, you know, and I said, Yoneno, is this the... You know, this is the Swallows catcher?
Former Swallows catcher, former Swallows number one catcher.
So I went, you know, I immediately I jumped on the computer. I'm like, he's playing the outfield. He's not even playing. Right. What's he even doing in the game? And, of course, right. I was watching on TV, and the cameras cut to the dugout.
Right.
And there's Watanabe, Nabikyu's in the dugout, high-fiving his coaches. And
yeah, good move there.
Yeah, I made the right move on that one, didn't I, buddy? And I'm like, you know, you knew that your team was going down, and
right.
or you felt like your team was going down, and you got this miracle of miracles. Now, here's the other thing. Not only does this guy not hit home runs, what was his first home run in 5 years?
It was his first home run since 2007. 2006. Oh, hold on.
2007? All right.
2007, he hit 370 in 32 games for the Swallows.
And then Mr. Falkenborg, if there's one thing that he has a habit of not doing, it's
let's put it this
letting
way.
The ball fly out of the park.
Let's say, Falkenborg has allowed as many home runs in 4 years as Yonino has hit in the last six. Four.
As he's hit in the last six. Great. And
so now here's the question is, who else has hit home runs off Brian Falkenborg since he's been in Japan?
And I remember a Chunichi guy doing it, but I don't remember who it was.
Okay. The answer is Yosuke Hirata.
Hirata, the
former outfield. Number one draft choice, another guy who was a big pitcher in high school, very similar guy to Nakata Sho, actually, as a high schooler. And Yonino, of course, and then two guys in between, Termel Sledge.
Wow.
And, well, actually, the two guys last year were Hirata and Sledge.
Okay.
And the first person to take Falkenborg deep in Japan was the guy Sledge mentioned in his interview, Chiba Lotte Marines catcher Tomio Satozaki, and that was in 2009.
Wow.
So Sledge, having not given up a home run in 2 years last year, got popped twice last year and says, who says this ball's
come on, Brian, you don't give up many home runs.
Well, he didn't, but now he's like coming back to normal. Well, he's hit three home runs in he used to give up one home run per 20 hits or 30 hits, and now he's giving up about one per 10. Given he's only had six hits this year.
Okay.
But of his hits, a bunch of them are going out of the park, which is not normal for him. So,
I'm thinking, this is good for Yonino. It's good for the Lions. But he's no savior for this team. It's not like he's going to put them out there. Watanabe's not going to put him out there every day and say, okay, you just earned yourself a job. But it did seem to spark the team. The guys have won three, four games in a row. They got a winning streak, which is good for them. And it's good to have a guy like this around because I like Hiroshi Hirao.
Yeah.
And it's good to have guys who've been around. You know, you got to have that old kick-around veteran who comes to the park every day. Not sure if he's going to play or not. And if he's going to play, he might get a couple swings.
So this is just a reminder to all you employers out there. Always look for a couple of guys who may look like they're past their prime, but they can still kick and they still know what they're doing because there's no replacement for experience, something money can't buy. I won't say I know John and I are,
but we're very useful and we're willing to learn.
Exactly. So don't throw away the old guys.
Now, you know, I wasn't high on the Lions getting the Red Godzilla's
Shima.
I wasn't really happy with that move. I didn't think he was going to do anything for them, and he really hasn't. But maybe this is a guy they can put in once in a while, especially
sure.
when Interleague comes around. He can be your DH because they're not really getting that much production
wow.
from anybody right now. So, I mean, just Nakajima is hitting well. He's over 300.
Yeah, Kuriyama at the top of the lineup has been dynamite, as Kuriyama is.
Right. Shogo Akiyama came off the farm, and he had a good weekend. A couple weekend days for them, so that was good.
They have some things going with the Lions, and the Lions have always been this kind of team where they've had massive ups and downs the last several years, but they always seem to be where they want to be at the end of the season. And I'm not willing to throw him out yet.
No.
In fact, I won't probably be willing to throw him out in October. But
no, I mean, and a miracle home run in a game in April isn't going to win you.
No, it ain't going to count.
A title. It's just going to help you
as Sledgey said, it's not where you start, it's where you finish, and this is absolutely true. Not necessarily, and to be honest, people do tend to value what people do at the end of the season more than what they do on the beginning of the season, even though they have exactly the same weight.
All right.
Anyway, moving along.
Moving along, we want to say congratulations to the milestone man, the first
absolutely.
One to reach 2,000 this year, Mr. Atsunori Inaba. He
first of three to reach 2,000 this year,
first of three, Jim predicts.
Well, the third being Kokobo.
I'm thinking Kokobo. I'm not sold on him. But, yeah, I think he'll get there. But
right.
Anyway, on Saturday, Inaba gets a single. And this was something interesting, that he homered in his last at-bat on Thursday night.
Right.
And he was getting ready to go out to the on-deck circle right. late in the game, and the Fighters made the last out, and so he had to wait. And in his first at-bat on Saturday, he gets the record.
Sure.
Or he doesn't get the record. He gets the milestone.
Right.
Which was nice for him. You know, get the, you know, didn't waste any time. You don't have to go do a Kanemoto where you're...
0-4 after that?
Yes, he did go 0-4 after that, but he got two hits today. So
okay, good.
But the Kanemoto situation where the media is following him all over the nation, yeah. waiting for him to get this hit. I can't remember how many games it was, 6 or 7 or something like that. But he finally got his. So I wanted to talk to Inaba on the day that I did the interview with Termel Sledge. But, of course, as I predicted, there was a lot. Actually, I thought it would be a crowd around him. There was a line that formed.
Yeah, it's like.
Which I'd never really seen the line of five reporters just waiting patiently in line.
Right. Well, because, first of all, reporters don't wait patiently.
Well, yes, secondly, they don't. Not in Japan, but.
No, no. And the second thing is they don't form lines.
Yeah.
It's elbows and pushing people out of the way, and I got a camera. Watch your head, buddy.
No, don't watch your head. Boink.
Okay.
So get that thing out of the way.
So
you never
got to 2,000, and more power to him. 38 years old and still going strong. And he
39.
Is he 39?
39 right? And 8 months.
Yeah. Wow. So another veteran. Don't throw him out. Okay. So I wanted to talk a little bit about the 2,000 hit club in Japan. This is in the majors. It's a 3,000 hit club, and Japan's a 2,000 hit club. And of course, it's the magic number here. And in Japan we've had one batter who had 3,000 hits, and that would be Isao Harimoto.
Yeah.
And they also have an organization, which is one of the more interesting things. There's an organization. It's called the Famous Baseball Players Association, the Pro-Yaku Meikyu Kai. And they have requirements for entering it. It's not only for hitters, but basically they admit hitters who have 2,000 hits. They admit pitchers with 200 wins. And a recent development is relief pitchers with 250 saves, which is... I don't know what saying that a save is 80% as valuable. I'm not going to do my math. Is 80% as valuable as a win? I'm not buying it. But anyway, moving along. The 2,000 hits is kind of interesting because this setup was made before, you know, this is a long ago, and this situation was developed before players started migrating, before stars started migrating to the major leagues. So now what are you going to do with a guy like... Ichiro Suzuki, who has 1,278 hits in Japan, and he's got over 2,000 hits in the major leagues. So this is a problem. So basically they said, oh, wait, when Hideo Nomo was there and he got his he needed to get his major league totals to cross the 200 threshold. So they said, we're going to count major league totals. Now this opens up a whole can of worms.
We want to count the ones that, you know, the Oji-san Yaku on the weekend.
No, be quiet. No, never happen. That would never happen.
I want to go back to the
T-ball.
T-ball. Wait a minute, and playground? Playground,
yeah.
Those count?
Yeah, John's sold. You put those in and John only needs 1,890 hits.
Really, that's all?
Wait, but you know, he's way over that if you count his Stratomatic baseball.
Stratomatic! Thank you, man.
Right, absolutely. So John will be applying for membership to the Meikyu Kai next week. Although, unfortunately...
Next week? I'm doing that tomorrow.
None of John's Stratomatic wins hits came in Japan, so unfortunately he'll not be eligible. So anyway, okay, to get where I'm going with this is that there are four players in the Meikyu Kai who didn't get 2,000 hits in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
In the Japanese first division play and in the Central League or Pacific League or the old Japan League. So, but that being said,
they still list them because of what three of them because of what they did in the major leagues. And so we have three players who are in the Meikyu Kai under the 2000 hit rule who have fewer hits in Japan than... Drum roll, please.
Oh, yes.
That was trying to be a drum roll.
That was a noise roll.
Sorry for the calamitous there. Okay, now, the three guys with fewer hits, with less than 2,000 hits in Japan in this who count, we'll call these the real guys, 1,278 for Ichiro Suzuki, 1,390 for Hideki Matsui,
yes.
And 1,573 for Kazuo Matsui, who's now back in Japan. Now, one guy who yesterday I finally heard the Japanese media refer to him as a candidate for 2,000 hits.
Wow.
And this was a shock because...
Because always listen to the Japanese media.
Yes, no.
Well, he says laughing.
I was watching the highlights, you know, some of the things I have more time to do these days. And they mentioned Alex Ramirez with the Bay Stars, who started the season needing 150 hits for 2,000.
And I predicted he wouldn't reach it this year, and we have a dinner out back.
Okay, well, get your credit card ready, dude, because he's a strong finisher. And Rami-chan, we love you.
I love the man. He's a great guy.
I think October 6th.
You're picking a date?
Why not?
You're doing a Babe Ruth?
Why not?
Wow. He's what? Calling a shot.
Oh, man. October 6th. Okay. October 16th. We'll give you some extra.
No.
October
6th. This is recorded. See,
okay. October 6th. Okay. We're live.
The recording.
Even though it's taped, it is live, in a sense. I'm not
right.
Stuffed.
We're on location.
Okay.
Now.
Anyway. Exactly. Yes. Okay. With the fake birds. Right. So, anyway. So, October 6th, Alex Ramirez will have his 2,000th hit in Japan. But let's say he didn't get it. Or let's say nobody notices, which is possible, because the Meikyu Kai... when Tuffy Rhodes was getting close, when Tuffy Rhodes needs about 100 and some odd hits.
Mm-hmm.
He needs he needs very few because he had more hits in the majors. If we apply the same rules to Tuffy Rhodes, he's very close as well. And they said, well, we might have some sort of recognition for Alex Ramirez, or for Tuffy Rhodes, because of all he's done in Japan. But 2,000 hits, no, we don't think so. So we'll see what happens when Alex gets it. Of course, when he gets 2,000 hits all in Japan, it's hard to ignore that. But
right.
Now,
Alex
Ramirez had 86 hits in the major leagues. He now has 1,000. Did he get a hit today?
I don't think so.
Okay. He's as of Saturday, he had 1,950 hits between the majors in Japan, which would make him a shoe-in to cross the Meikyu Kai's new threshold.
Lowered threshold.
And speaking of which, so I mentioned the three guys who are in the Meikyu Kai who have fewer hits in Japan than Alex Ramirez. The next guy on the list is Hiromi Matsunaga. Now, Hiromi Matsunaga was a great, great third baseman, primarily for the Oryx for the Hankyu Braves. Finished with Oryx, went to Hanshin as a free agent, went to the Fukuoka Daiei Hawks as a free agent, but finished his career just shy of 2,000, 1,904 hits. Well, you know, that's really a sad thing, and if you want a guy in the Meikyu Kai, what do you
Little
do?
Little League.
You changed the rules. John hit it on the head. Okay, Hiromi Matsunaga is in the Meikyu Kai, not because he has 2,000 hits in the majors and Japan, not because he has 2,000 hits in Japan.
Oh, old-timers.
He has got 2,000 hits because they added 99 he got from the Masters League. This is the winter league they play for guys who are either A, over 30, and B, veterans of Japanese pro baseball. It's like the seniors league in golf. It's now called the Champions Tour. Well, now we know it. It's a champion of
losers.
Oh, that's me. Anyway, I love the Masters League. Actually, oddly enough, draws very good crowds because people want to come out and see the old guys run around the bases, and they're popular. And some of these guys can crank it up, and it's a good
thing. Not running, okay? It's not running.
I've been to only one Masters League game. I went to the first game ever here at Tokyo Dome. They had an excellent crowd. They do get good crowds to the Masters League.
They're running my marathon pace, all right, dude? That's okay. Not running.
So anyway, I'm not going to dish on the Masters League itself because, you know, more power to them. More, you know, these guys want to play.
Those
people want to watch them play.
Yeah.
but 99 hits in the Masters League is not 99 hits in AAA in the U.S.
Not real baseball.
It's not even 99 hits in the Eastern League.
Not real baseball.
It is real baseball. No, it is real baseball, but it's at a different level.
Well, yeah.
Is it real baseball? Yeah, these guys are playing.
I wouldn't mind getting out there. Then. As I've always contended, I'm in really good shape for my age, and I think us veterans can still hang. I don't know about you. you should see the look, people.
Looks like a kill. I'd have to finish this podcast by myself because Gibson would be a corpse.
Ramirez didn't even play today, so he's not taking any steps closer to his Mayhew entry.
Well, it's got it's got dancing to prepare for, you know.
That's right.
When he hits his home run, his first dance move.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, just to get to a couple other things, some injuries to talk about. Makoon, the guy I said was really going to step up and be the man this year, has a bad lower back, and he was deactivated, and they thought he was just going to miss a turn and come right back.
Yeah.
But it looks like he could miss some more time than that. Hopefully it'll just be a couple weeks and he'll be back. So
what a shock, a pitcher with an injury.
Mm-hmm. Also, Kenta Kurihara of the Hiroshima Carp. He's got a bad elbow, and it looks like he might even have to have surgery. And it's unfortunate, but I don't think the Carp's going to miss him because he really wasn't that productive this year. He got 16 hits. They're all singles.
Yeah, basically, with Kurihara, what you want is for him to come to be healthy somewhere in the end of July, August, when he hits anyway. Yeah. He doesn't normally hit in April and May anyway, so...
Yeah, he was hitting 210.
Give him time off. He deserves it. Yeah.
So, and he's such a nice guy. He's such a lovable... He's like a big teddy bear.
He is indeed. Right? He's a teddy bear.
Always smiling, always happy. Not a great defensive player. Probably because... Remember when I talked to him last year and found out he was wondering what butterflies, you know, how fast butterflies fly when he's out there in the field supposed to be playing defense. I'm exaggerating.
He
not focused on the defensive side. He just wants to go and hit.
He has won a Golden Glove.
And yes. By default, right, as we discussed last week.
Well, you and I haven't won one, so there.
We didn't play a full season either like the other guys in the league. So,
hey. We often joke about first baseman's defense, you know, like, what are you wearing a glove for? You know, they don't even know. But if you gave me a glove and you stuck me at first base, I'd get rid of the thing and run away. I wouldn't want to be out there. So,
all right.
I make Scott Hattenberg look like the god of fielding. So,
wow. Moneyball. And one other guy I wanted to talk about was Motonobu Tanishiga.
Yeah.
Tanishiga of the Chunichi Dragons, who hit a home run the other day versus Yakult. That gave him at least one home run in 24 consecutive seasons, starting from his first year as a pro. Now, there's
with
other people
a Yokohama Taiyo Whales.
Yeah. There are other people who have longer streaks overall, more than 24 consecutive years with at least one home run, but they didn't do it from the start, from their first year as a pro. So that was a good record for him. And the home run was pretty significant because it tied the score, and the Dragons and Swallows ended up playing 10 innings.
Great game.
That was a game that was, made you want to rip your eyes out and stop watching baseball.
They had a couple of game-saving plays, and I love that stuff. You know, this was essentially a soccer game on the baseball diamond. It was a lot of great action, and just ended up in a tie. So we saw a great play by Shinya Miyamoto at third base to show what a big guy he can be.
He went back and fielded that ball. I thought, no way, it's gonna bounce over his head.
He's got a high chopper. He's playing in, and he goes back as far as he can go, and he leans back as far as he can.
The wind blew that thing in his glove.
He leaps up and he catches that ball and fires a strike to home, and the game remains tied. So more power to all you guys. It was a wonderful game.
It was a great game. And so, yes, that home run was significant because it was late in the game and helped the Dragons.
And we have Tanishige will Tanishige probably won't beat Ramirez to 2,000 hits, but he should get 2,000 next year.
Yeah. Yep.
So more power to him, and another great guy who tells it like it is and is always happy to talk. So we're happy to talk to you, buddy.
and we'll be happy to hear from you guys out there. So please, this is a reminder, send us your comments via MP3 file or just email or check us out on Facebook.
But talk to us because we want to hear from you.
Yeah, we want to know what your opinions about the low totals of runs and home runs. If you want to see pitcher duels every night with the number 5 starter against the number 6 starter, and they're still going 0-0 into the ninth innings.
Oh, man, this is great stuff.
Not every day, not every game.
Hey, man, it's baseball. I'm all for change. Let's do it every day.
All right, everybody. Enjoy your baseball.
Okay,
thanks for
listening. See you next week.